Please take your Bibles, turn to the letter of Romans, Romans chapter 7, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 13. And I pray to God, would you sing this word of prayer? Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Since I am speaking to those who know the law, brothers and sisters, don't you know that the law rules over someone as long as he lives? For example, a married woman is legally bound to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law regarding the husband. So then, if she is married to another man while her husband is living, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. Then, if she is married to another man, she is not an adulteress. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you also were put to death in relation to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another. You belong to him who was raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit for God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions aroused through the law were working in us to bear fruit for death. But now we have been raised from the law, since we have died to what held us, so that we may serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the old letter of the law. What should we say then? Is the law sin? Absolutely not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin if it were not for the law. For example, I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, do not covet. And sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced to me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life again, and I died. The commandment that was meant for life resulted in death for me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just. Therefore, did what is good become death to me? Absolutely not. On the contrary, sin, in order to be recognized as sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that through the commandment of sin, I become sinful beyond measure. May you see. In chapter 6, we looked at our relationship with God through grace. We need to recognize that we have been freed from sin. And Paul used the analogy of slavery, saying that we were slaves to sin. Slaves to the one that controlled us. And sin was our master. But we have been freed from sin. We need to understand that sin no longer has control, no longer has power over us. We have been free. A lot of people forget they've been free. We need to not only understand and recognize we've been free from sin, we need to recognize and yield to the new life we have in the grace of God. Should we go on sinning? No. We need to serve God instead. Bob Dylan wrote a song called, "I'm Gonna Serve Somebody." And in his song, he brings this fact, and I'll just read the first verse, of course. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You might be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Now, as I mentioned, Lindsay, I don't know if this is a passage that Bob Dylan used for the song. But it says, we're either going to serve the devil or the Lord. We need to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? Now, we have been freed from the obligation, the power of sin, and we don't have to serve sin. A Christian cannot honestly say, I couldn't help myself, the devil made me do it. The devil cannot make a Christian do anything because he doesn't have any power over you anymore. Sin does not have power over you. Now, is it still there tempting you? Yes. But it doesn't have control. There's a difference between sin having control and sin tempting. We need to recognize that we have been freed from sin. We need to choose who are we going to follow. When a situation comes, a trial, we can either serve sin or we can serve God. We're going to have to choose somebody. Who are we going to choose? The choice is ours to make. It doesn't always mean that sin looks like the bad thing, and serving God looks like a good thing because the world tries to make it look like just the opposite. There are a lot of people in the world that try to say Jesus would never condemn sin. Jesus loved everybody. It's true, Jesus loved everybody. But he went to the cross because of the sin of people. In the 1960s and early 70s, there was a book called I'm Okay, You're Okay. And somebody came up with a neat poster. It's a poster of Jesus on the cross. And it said, if I'm okay, if you're okay, what am I doing here? We are not okay. Sin is not okay. Sin deceives us. And Paul's going to get into that in our passage today. But we need to choose. And Paul says, I'm going to use a human analogy here. You need to choose to be a slave to God. You have been freed from slavery to sin. Now you need to be a slave to God. And Paul said, now this is a human analogy. It sort of breaks down. Because when we're a slave to sin, it wants to rule us. It wants to lead us in all kinds of bad places and ultimately to death. But when we're a slave to righteousness, it leads us to eternal life. When we're a slave to righteousness, we are adopted as a child of the King. We have a new relationship with God. When you're a slave to sin, sin doesn't come at a cost for you. When you're a slave to righteousness, God doesn't come at a cost for us. What are we going to do? And verse 23 of chapter 6 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to understand, if we choose to serve sin, we are destined to be eternally separated from God in the fires of hell. If we choose to serve God, it's not by our effort. It's by God's grace that we have eternal life. So then, Paul saying, we've been freed from sin. We've been given the gift of eternal life. Now let's talk about the law for a minute. What about the law? Are we still under the law? And Paul gives a couple of examples. The first example, he says, if you die, the law does not have any authority over you anymore. Now, I'll ask you, maybe somebody has seen it. Have you ever seen a police car with its lights flashing, pull into the cemetery and go to a graveside and say, you're under arrest? No. The person's dead. authority over them anymore. Then he gives a second example. Someone's married, and they choose to have a relationship with someone else. They're called an adulterer. But if they're married and their spouse dies, they become a widow. And if they have a relationship with someone else, they're not an adulterer. Just as death frees you from the law and frees you from the obligation of marriage, so we have died to the law. Now, what is the law? Now, there's 613 different commandments in the Bible. I want to know the top 10. Okay, top 10. Don't serve any other god but the true God. Second, don't make an idol. Now, there are a lot of people in Christian churches that make idols. They're the ones that say, well, my Jesus would never do that. Because they're talking about a Jesus not in the Bible, but a Jesus of their imagination. They have made a Jesus that's like Santa Claus. He just gives me good things, that could be bad things, and he does what I want. That's my thing, right? Third commandment, don't misuse God's name. That's not just using God's name as a customer. That's just usually a privilege. Just using it as a punctuation mark. And then, take one day of a Sabbath to worship God and rest. That's the top four. They relate to our relationship with God. And starting with 5 through 10, relationship with other people. Honor your father and mother. Why? Because they deserve it? No. Because God deserves it. We're to honor our mother and father because God deserves it. Then, don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Tenth, don't covet. And Paul sums up all this with just the tenth. He says, should I say the law is bad? Absolutely not. He said, I would not have known what it was to covet until the law said, do not covet. Well, think about this one. It's like an advertising commercial. You don't know you want something until you see a commercial. Wow. I want that. You didn't even know it existed before. But the commercial says, you want that. And you got to have it. That's coveting. You say, God, why haven't you given me that yet? And you start blaming God, thinking he's unfair. I don't deserve this. I deserve something better. That's coveting. Saying that God has not given you what you think you deserve. And Paul said, the law doesn't have, no, do not have it. He said, oh, I haven't thought about all the things God has given me that I really need. We insert what we want, or what we think we want in place of what we need. God gives us everything we need every day. We need to remember. The law, then, when it, Paul says, when it says, do not covet, then law seized that opportunity and sin jumped in. Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. All the way to me. And just in case, here's your extra little bit of something that I'll say. Genesis and Hebrew were at the beginning. So if I say turn to the book of beginning, Genesis chapter 3, beginning verse 1. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had given. He said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it, or you will die. No, you will not die, the serpent said. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. The woman saw the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. She took some of the fruit and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then their eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed thick leaves together and made a covering for themselves. Everything was good in the garden. The same, God's trying to withhold from you something that you really need. You deserve to eat from that tree. God's just trying to keep something from you. This covenant. And Satan uses the same kind of temptations. He did three temptations. Did God really say? It was the doubt. Did God really say that sin is wrong? Yes, he did. And then Satan missed the temptation. Satan, God is confused. God didn't really mean that. And then he tells us we're smarter than God. He does the same thing. Doubt God, deny what God said, and tell you we're smarter than you coming out of here. And that's what happened with sin. And then Paul goes on. And he says, and sin seizing an opportunity, verse 8, Romans 7, produced in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life again and I died. What's that mean? Paul says, once before I knew right from wrong, before I realized God said, this is something you are not to do, do not covet, I was fine. The commandment was still there. But then when I realized it was wrong, then sin sprang to life and I died. The commandment that was meant for life resulted in death for me. For sin, seizing the opportunity for the commandment, deceived me through it killed me. It said, you're smarter than this. God's just trying to be unfair to you. Sin deceives. God's trying to be unfair, withholding from you something that you deserve. Well, actually, if we look at what we deserve eternity in heaven. We don't want what we deserve. That's why I steal Ken Renzi's saying, when they ask Ken Renzi, how are you doing? He said, better than I deserve. And reminds us that we are not getting what we deserve. We are getting something better. And then in verse 12. For then, so then, the law is holy, the commandment is holy, just and good. Therefore, did that what is good become death to me? Did God make the commandment to kill me? Paul answers, absolutely not. So what was the purpose of the commandment? It was so that sin can be recognized as utterly sinful. Now let's go back to the Ten Commandments for a moment. Most people think they're good people. Most people do not think that they deserve eternity in hell. Most people think they're healthy until they go to a doctor and get certain tests done. And certain tests show that you have a certain disease. Well, the Ten Commandments are there to show us that we are suffering from the disease of sin. Have you always had God first place in your life? If you haven't, you've broken the first commandment. Have you ever made up God to worship instead of the true God? Have you broken the second? Have you ever misused God's name? Not necessarily as a cuss word to do that. Usually it's distributed, not thinking about it. You've broken the first. Have you always taken one day out of seven to worship God? Yes, you haven't. Have you always, and are you still honoring your parents? If you haven't, you broke the fifth commandment. Have you ever murdered? Finally, one that I haven't broken. But Jesus says, you've been angry with your heart. There are a lot of people who vote for God today, wanting other people who experience harm or adversity. Have you ever committed adultery? No one. Jesus said, if you ever look at your one lustfully, you're guilty of adultery. Have you ever taken anything and then say, over $20? You took a paper clip from work. You're a thief. Have you ever lied? Only white lies. A white lie is a lie. And you're lying to yourself if you say a white lie isn't a lie. This is a lie. Because you lied to yourself about lying to yourself. But have you ever wanted something somebody else had? And so we look at the 10 tests. We are guilty. We deserve eternity in hell. But the law is there to show us how sinful sin is. So when we recognize how sinful sin is, we'll realize that there's nothing we can do on our own. That we are not going to be saved by our good works. We are going to be saved by our gift through the grace. Some people, even today, think they can earn their way to heaven. God is not going to check your attendance roll in church. God is not going to check your tithing balance. God's not going to check how many times you read your Bible. In heaven, internet, God's going to check what you can do with your offering for forgiveness and your sin. But I was a member of church, that's not it. But I didn't, that's not it. Did you recognize that you were sinning and accept payment of your sin gift of God and payments? That's the only way it can happen. We don't deserve it. God is paving the way so that you can live in heaven. It's not by works, it's by the grace of God. What we earn for our works in eternity is a gift of God. And we get to go and share that with others. People are looking at you. People need to hear the truth. And unfortunately, behind the pulpits of many churches today, they're not hearing the truth. There are pastors that are trying to make people feel good. I have to use this illustration. Imagine you're on a road trip, and you're on this interstate highway, and they rerouted it. The interstate highway now goes across the Grand Canyon. It's still four lanes either way. Thick roads, good construction. How fast are you going to drive across that bridge? if it doesn't have any guardrails. We have another pretty good place. Imagine that you slowed down because you heard it doesn't have guardrails. And you notice the bridge is out in the middle. What are you going to do? There are other people coming down this interstate, heading for the bridge, where the middle section is gone. Well, I don't want to offend people. They look like they're having a good time. They're singing songs in their car. They're enjoying their to let the car drive. Take little hands off the steering wheel and let it drive. I don't trust anyone's shoe. I've heard of using the shoes. Well, do you just ignore the people? Or do you stand out and try to stop people saying, the bridge is out? That's going to offend a lot of people. But it's going to save them from finding out as they plunge through the other way to him. And the bridge was out. We need to offend people in love by letting them know there's a judgment of time. Who does God want to be saved? Every single individual. We need to have that same movement. Everyone needs to be with you. There's a judgment of time. And living your life by the objection of God does not mean the closer. You know, I could walk off at the end of the stage. It wouldn't have hurt so much when I jumped. But it's going to hurt if I just walk off. That's what they call gravity. I can tell you I don't breathe in gravity. Well, as soon as I step off at the end of the stage, gravity is true. It's still there. Now, God's judgment, God's truth is still there. We need to remind you of God's truth. And we need to remind you that He can love. God demonstrates His own love for us in His power of justice. Christ found us. Let me know you can be sure of your prayers. Thus, at the time of peace, dear Lord, I thank you for everything you've done. I thank you, you give us an opportunity to share your truth with others. I pray that we will recognize how sinful sin is, and that we will recognize we cannot on our own make things right with you. It's only for your grace. And then let us know what you're doing. Jesus.